feeling ko, you cannot really have a protest movement if it's not culturally rooted, or if there's no seed planted in society, no? So I felt at that time that we were actually doing the work of liberating the Philippines from dictatorship. It was to me like, you know, pakonti-konti, one chip here, one chip there, you know, pababagsakin natin itong diktadurya na to, no? So I was scared. Sometimes I would be followed by unknown cars, you know? But I told myself, everybody is afraid and it's okay to feel the fear, but you must do what you must do.
Hello, my name is Howie Severino, a Filipino journalist. I've been doing interviews on TV for more than 20 years, and now on audio. Welcome to my podcast. Hello, listeners. The month of September is the month to remember martial law in the Philippines. September 21, 1972 was the date on the official declaration of martial law. Never again is the mantra of many who survived those years. What were those years really like? We did interviews with prominent personalities of that period. Listen up. Musician, composer, influencer, and activist, Jim Paredes is one of the more colorful and controversial personalities of our time. Magandang araw sa'yo, Jim.
Magandang araw, Howie.
Jim, for a younger generation, no, they may think you're just another politically outspoken guy on Twitter, no, but... For older people like me, I started listening to your music long before I thought you had any politics. You know, your musical trio, the Apo Hiking Society, was OPM even before the term OPM. No? Nag-perform kayo for over 40 years. At ngayon, may bagong kanta kayo ni Boboy Garovillo, no? Yung Quarantine Baby, although you retired the Apo brand a few years ago. No? Pero I wanted to ask you as an opening question, para sa mga kabataan ngayon, paano mo gustong ilarawan ang music at legacy ng grupo mo, ang Apo Hiking Society?
Okay, at the time we started, there was no OPM. The main aspiration of performers then was to be the Off the Philippines. We call it the Off the Philippines artist. In other words, you know, you were the Elvis Presley of the Philippines, the Neil Sedaka of the Philippines, Everly Brothers of the Philippines, yung ganun ang aspiration. In other words, parang talagang ano, we wanted to just be part of America in some way, no? American culture was like, we were swimming in it. Our generation woke up and said, you know, while we love the Beatles never wrote any song for the Filipino experience. They wrote it for the Brits, no? And that's what we wanted to do. We wanted to write songs for the Filipino experience. In other words, we wanted to be the soundtrack of Filipino loves, Filipino lives, Filipino humor, you know, that kind of thing. Para meron tayong matatawag na sariling atin, no? So we came from that generation. And I remember when we were just starting as a singing group, if you sang an original song in a crowd, people would boo you. They were saying, yabang mo, kantahin mo na lang yung top 40, yun ang gusto namin, no? So, that's how Apo Hiking Society learned how to be comical. Because when you're comical, gagaan yung puso ng nakikinig sa'yo. And then you can do your own composition, which they accepted eventually.
Well, if I may interject lang, yeah, Jim, no? Even your branding, your name, yung Apo Hiking Society was born out of a humor, no? But it was a joke, kasi... Apolinario Mabini Hiking Society, alam naman natin na disabled, no? Si Mabini. So, tinawag yung hiking society. Oh. So, there is a bit of humorous irony there at the expense of a national hero pa.
We had an irreverence during our time. You know, prior to that, our choices for the name of the group was KKK, Kataas-taas ang Kagalang-galangang Combo. And believe it or not, Jose Rizal Bulletproof Vest Company. So, yun ang aming mga choices talaga. It was because
teenagers,
you know,
pa kayo nito, just to give a little bit of history. You were high school students, is playing around with music,
yeah,
and kind of accidentally stumbled upon something that became popular. But paint us briefly a picture of that time. No, sabi mo nga, people would boo you if you tried to do anything original. But at the same time, there was kind of this emerging.
It was
nationalism
emerging.
that made it acceptable. But just a final note about that period from me. I interviewed Pepe Smith once ng Juan de la Cruz, and he said yung sinasabi mong kailangan gayahin yung top 40 or yung western music, ang tawag daw nila doon, yung mga rock bands noon, yung plakado, pati yung guitar riffs, it had to sound exactly like the covers that they were doing, no?
Yeah, put it this way, if the 60s were like emulation of America, no? Where actually, pati masa, ganun ang gusto eh, nung 60s, eh, no? So mass followed class because class wanted to be like, you know, you had the American experience, you studied to work in New York, you know, that kind of thing. Ganun yung mga visions mo, di ba? Nung 70s, nung pumasok na talaga yung OPM, which actually, the term OPM was branded by Danny Javier, no? He was the one who thought of that. We had that small record
company. Kasama mo sa Apo. Okay.
Kasama ko sa Apo.
We have to keep mentioning this kasi yung mga listeners mo, baka, alam mo, mga senior citizen na tayo eh.
It was one of Apo who branded the term OPM. No.
Yeah, si Danny, oo.
Nung 70s, ang nangyari, all these people who went to universities, you know, got into music. And they didn't want to do the music that was being done during the 60s, yung plakado, ayaw nila yun. No? So, parang it became part of the dissenting culture to be OPM. So, ganun ang nangyari sa amin. It was a rebellion. While it is true we inherited the anger of the Vietnam War and all of that, and the glamour of being hippies and all of that, pagdating sa music, we really took the turn of being, ano, no, let's write the Filipino experience, you know. So ganun ang nangyari sa ano, ganun ang nangyari nung 70s at sa amin, and we stuck to it. It was Marcos' time.
Before you move on in time, do you recall yung mga unang kanta nyo? I've listened to so many of your songs, hindi ko na maalala kung ano yung mga pinakaluma doon, no?
But
do you recall ano ba yung pinakaunang original Apo song?
It was called It's a New Day. That was the original. English pa nga eh. Tapos pinick up ng DZRJ yun. Tapos, my gosh, they were like playing it 20 times a day and there was no record. It was only a reel, no? A reel. It was taped in reel. For our final concert, we were gonna split up. And it became big.
This is college, no? So you're a college combo, college band.
Oh.
And then you're playing yung mga the typical school fair, mga ganon, no?
Yeah,
and
yeah. Oh.
Alam ko, nag-perform kayo ng, sa Meralco. So, you're a big deal in the college crowd. And
right.
Then, mag-farewell concert kayo shortly before graduation or right after you graduated. Kasi
after
yung ibang members
graduated.
Nyo, magmamigrate. Yeah, magmamigrate. Just correct me if I'm mentioning any inaccuracy in your history, you know. But you had a farewell concert sa Meralco.
Yes.
And then it became a hit. Kaya you just, some of you, or three of you, decided to continue.
No, what happened was Meralco, well, in high school, all, in the history of Apo, 12 members passed through it, no? Including Rick Segreto, who was part of us, including Tato Garcia, who became Undersecretary of Transportation under Minister Dance. No? So we were quite a motley crew. Last days of college, there were only four of us na lang. The others went to different schools, etc. No? So we decided to do a farewell concert because one of the members, Lito De Hoya, was going to join his father's company. Boboy was going to take over their family farm. I was going to Turkey on an ISEC exchange program. And only Danny was going to be left here. Ang nangyari, hindi natuloy yung aking Turkey trip. Tapos there was a TV show called Okay Lang, which was full of unknowns. The Soto brothers were unknown then. The Apo were unknown then and all of that. No, Joey De Leon, mga talagang... Pero it was a comedy show and it really clicked. Natalo namin si Nora Honor during that time. And then Danny telegrammed Boboy and said, "You must be bored in the farm. Come home here. We have a job." So when Boboy came home, that's when we started to, again, become a group. And that started to tour and that started to do records.
So yung TV show na yon nag-launch ng inyong career.
Mga 75 yun, ganun.
So right after graduation. During all those years, you guys never really had a real day job. You were professional performers.
The three of us had a day job with Gem Recording Company. I was head of A&R. Danny was head of marketing. Bobby was head of production.
Mm-hmm.
And
music pa rin.
We were able to discover artists like Florante, Mike Hanopol Solo, Haji Alejandro. You know, we dealt with a lot of big names that we discovered.
At saka, babata nyo pa noon, no? I mean, if you had just recently graduated from college.
We knew nothing. We were running on instinct. Totally running on instinct on what people wanted. But we were committed to do OPM because we didn't have any foreign label to sell. So since all our products were just OPM, we decided to put a little sign in the records, you know, OPM, to make people wonder. And then people started to ask, what does OPM mean? And that's how we rebranded Manila Sound.
Pag sinasabi kasing yung music ng mga panahon na yon, no, 60s, 70s, dalawa yung iniisip. One is yung rock, di ba? Yung Juan de la Cruz, Maria Cafra, Anak Bayan, you know, that segment of the music scene. And then
right.
And then yung OPM na kayo, no? Rico J, di ba? More I guess, I don't know if you'd call it light, but it had, you know, it was more uplifting. It wasn't angry. It wasn't yung music nyo, no? It was about love. So may dalawang strands na ganon.
Pero, Awi, the rebellion was exactly just to write in Tagalog. That was the rebellion. Never mind the content. We started to get angry only during the ano na, 80s na. We're just expressing ourselves. The whole idea was, even if you write in Filipino, medyo ano na yun, medyo, wow, you're so cool. Iba ka, ganon. Ganon na yung reaction.
Yeah, when you guys were first performing original songs, binubu kayo, no? But after a while, nagpatuloy kayo na gumawa ng mga original compositions ninyo, no? That expresses Filipino sentiment, Filipino world, no? So eventually, it caught on. So you actually created a demand for it rather than responding to a demand.
Yes, yes. We created the, ano. You know, I remember one time I was backstage in Channel 7, GMA 7. I was talking with Kuya Germs. And Kuya Germs actually asked me this. Anong ginagawa nyo dito sa showbiz? May pinag-aralan naman kayo. Sabi niya, ang showbiz para sa mga gwapo na patapon. Sinabi niya yun. Di ba? Kayo nag-ateneo kayo. Ganun, no? He actually said that. Sabi ko, well, I want to get into this. Sabi ko, but I want to write my own stuff. Parang he looked at me like incredibly incredulous yung tingin niya na parang, ha? Ano ba kayo? And then the Basil started to come in, di ba? Mga ano yan eh. Mga,
Basil Valdez.
Oh, mga Ivy League, ano yan, di ba? Si Haji Sambeda, yung mga ganun. Si,
oh, Haji Alejandro. Yeah.
And then one time I was
mga
talking.
Mga balladeers.
Yeah, and I was talking to Ray Valera one day and I said, Ray, how did you write OPM? Because we never talked, kami nila Ray, lahat ng mga writers ng OPM never got together to say, this is a movement, this is what we're gonna do. Sabi ni Ray, ewan ko, sabi niya, I just started to write OPM. It was in the air, you know? Parang ganun ang nangyari dun. Right now, people take it for granted, but you know, during the time, it was quite a radical move. Isa pang big turning point sa Apo, we were writing in English. Tapos nakasabay namin ng Juan de la Cruz sa isang concert. And they sang, ano, yung rock and roll, ano, sa ulan. And I saw the reaction of the people, you know? At that moment, I told myself, no, you have to write in Tagalog na. Ang English parang napaka-limited na nga abutin. It's very rare na magkakaroon ka ng hit ng English. And true enough, dalawa lang ang hit songs ng Apo ng in English. Which is When I Met You at saka Show Me a Smile.
So ano yung una nyong kanta na may Filipino lyrics?
It was called Ano Ang Ibig Mong Sabihin? Which nobody remembers. Tapos we did one with Jo Marie Chan called Nobya Con Sexy. But we hit it big when we started to do, when we left Vicor and we went to Gem Records, our own record company, cut us. We had a song, the first Tagalog song we recorded was Mahirap Magmahal ng Shota ng Iba.
Okay, classic.
Boom!
Oo. After high that, school pa ako noon.
After that, oh, alam ko na.
That resonated. Oo.
Tapos si Danny Roth, pumapatak ang ulan, pang, lakas.
Yeah.
Lakas nun talaga, my gosh.
Unang kanta.
Like, we couldn't keep up with the
high school days pa ako noon.
Yeah. So, ganun nangyari.
So itong mga kantang ito, itong pag-usbong ng career ninyo sa music, no? Parang it coincided with yung kasagsagan ng martial law.
Yeah.
A decade later, naging very political ka na, no? But back then, no, shortly after college graduation, you're involved in, you know, this recording company, you're very busy with all of these, you know, managing and promoting talents and all that. Kumusta yung political awareness ninyo? Were you aware of what was happening outside music?
Yeah, we were politically aware, no? I had a teacher who was arrested in Envenido Lumbera, which I visited him in jail, no? I had a classmate who disappeared, was picked up by the military and murdered. We had two classmates who were murdered. We had an awareness already, and ako talaga, even when Marcos was running for election, I was already against him during that time. When he ran for re-election, lalo pa akong nagalit sa kanya. Kaya nung nangyari yung ano, first quarter storm, my gosh! Sumali ako, nag-rally ako. Sumali ako sa ano, students. But you know, I was very Ivy League. And they were like UP and you know, all of that. Parang feeling ko, hindi immediately ako nag-fit. Di ba? Unang-una, Inglesero ako. Tapos puro lang mo. You know? But parang politically, I was beginning to absorb all of this, ano, this consciousness na, you know, there's something really wrong with our politicians and our system. No? Tapos nung Marcos declared martial law, I mean, I followed curfew and all of that, but I wouldn't know. Wala naman social media noon. Ano? But I would have political talks with all of my friends all the time, you know, because you couldn't trust the media. So you get together and magkukwento kayo. So ganun. Yung spills ng Apo during that time, patapang na ng patapang. I remember nag-perform kami, nag-perform kami sa Cultural Center and doon si Josefa Marcos, yung nanay ni Marcos, di ba? We were performing and then we made a joke about Nutribans kasi during that time, di ba? Yabang-yabang ni Marcos. We brought Nutribans and all of that and we made a passing joke about it. No. Nagtawanan lahat ng tao sa Cultural Center. Pala nandun si Josefa nanunood. We said, oh well, whatever.
Cultural pa, no? 70s pa yon. But 80s, lalo na nung namatay na si Ninoy Aquino, talagang lantara na, no?
And, well, prior to that, I remember, prior to Ninoy dying, my mother was arrested. My mother and my stepfather were arrested. They were political prisoners because they were linked to Light a Fire, no? I would visit them in jail and I would meet all of these top leftists who were there. Ed De La Torre, I attended mass inside the jail with him and he was the officiating priest and it was the most radical mass I ever attended. I said, oh my gosh, you know. But it also gave me the feeling that, you know, ang faith talaga is a living thing, no? Where you have to localize it, di ba? Hindi pwedeng, you know, it's like magic na hocus pocus and all of that. You sort of have to internalize it in the situation of martial law and give it that meaning to and solve the spirit of people who were attending, no? So, ang laki ng growth spurt ko dun sa, no, in terms of politics, no? And then, Ninoy died. When Ninoy died, oh my gosh. No, at first, it was the April 6th movement, right? I was attending a wedding and dun yung kapatid ni Marcos, yung doktor, Pacifico. Tapos dapat 9 o'clock magna-noise barrage. Alam ng buong Pilipinas yun eh. Kasi wala naman social media pero by word of mouth kumalat talaga. So nung 9 o'clock, somebody started hitting yung bason, di ba? For the, di ba when you hit that, they're supposed to kiss, di ba? Di ba? Alam namin 9 o'clock noise barrage. Mamaya, hindi na tumigil. 15 minutes kami nagaganong-ganon sa table. Si Josef, si Pacifico nakatingin lang gano'n. Parang, what's happening? Pag-uwi namin, going through EDSA, ang dami mga fires sa tabi ng EDSA, no? And people were like, kumakalampag ng mga pinggan, mga ganon. So I said, oh my gosh, this is really big. And then when Ninoy died, okay, remember the government?
1983.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I actually went to the airport to, para salubungin siya. Pero hindi na ako umabot sa airport.
Bakit?
Parang narinig ko yata sa radyo na may nangyari. But I could see in EDSA, meron yung mga, di ba, welcome home, Ninoy, di ba, may mga yellow ribbon, mga ganun-ganun. So that night, no, the next night, I was one of the first 500 na pumila sa, Times Street to look at his body. And then I went back again. I went back mga 3 times kasi ang haba ng pila eh. Tapos the first show of Apo after that night was, we had this thing about, remember the government came out with a film clip, supposedly a reenactment of how he was killed, with Galman there waiting at the side and everything. But everybody knew it wasn't Galman who shot him, right? It was the military. So anyway, naglabas ang government ng ganun, tapos naglabas ang NHK, no?
In Japanese news company.
Uh-huh. They featured the reenactment of the killing of Ninoy. So ang ginawa namin, sa show namin, we reenacted the NHK. I was speaking in Japanese. Tapos si Danny was supposed to be the man in white and Boboy was going to be the killer, di ba? Pero ang ginawa namin, si Boboy nakatipto para balirin si, para yung trajectory pababa. So Boboy was walking behind him with supposedly a gun and trying to shoot him. And people just really went crazy, no? They went crazy. Parang we needed a catharsis.
This was a live concert.
Live concert, yeah. And after that, my gosh, kumalat yung reputation namin na talagang, these guys are really crazy. They're not afraid.
Pero ikaw, may political roots ka nga na gano'n, nakulong yung mama mo at saka stepfather mo. But how about the other members? How were they politicized? Or na-influence mo sila? Si Buboy at saka si Danny Javier?
Yeah.
They just went along with you? Or they were aligned politically from
the
start?
We were aligned politically, but we were not, in degrees of expressing it, hindi kami kasing intense, no? But it was later on, nung na-brand na rin kami na ganun. Tapos, then we did that concert in Ultra, which was called Eto Na Po Sila, which was so innocently called Eto Na Po Sila, right? But it was the killing words of that soldier who killed Ninoy. Remember, he said, Eto Na.
Pusila, pusila.
Eto na, pusila, pusila, di ba? So ginawa namin, eto na pusila, di ba? Parang with Apo in the middle. And that was the title of our concert. Our fans knew what we were doing. But the government did not. And I could tell at that time that the new culture was emerging, and it was like opposition. It was like there's anger. There was, you know, parang talagang palitan na yung ganun, no? Anyway, punong-puno yung concert namin. It was really, it was so subversive during the time. You know, and it was standing ovation at nagkakagulo talaga sa. So we reserved Ultra again for 2 weeks after, no? And we were informed the next day na hindi na, we were banned already. And then we were banned, and then we had all of these TV shows lined up. They called us to say, cancel. And then radio wouldn't play us. So we were banned. Totally banned. We were a band that was banned, no?
Baka yun ang origins ng cancel culture.
Oh.
Na-cancel kayo left and right. Oh.
Yeah.
Pero I remember 84 or might have been 85, napanood ko pa kayo sa Loyola Center. Eh,
that was 85.
Time. Oh, that 85. Was the... very political yung content nyo noon. Yeah. Yung repartee nyo, yung jokes, kanta.
Banda kami, political. Kaya doon lang kami pwede mag-concert. Ateneo kasi eh, di ba? We even had a standby generator because we were told that they were gonna cancel the power.
No? Yes. Uh-oh.
So
yeah, yeah.
Mike De Leon sent his LVN generator. Naka-standby kami. Kahit na tigilin kami ng government, aandar kami talaga. No?
Oo. So, I was there. I remember. Puno rin yun and it was fun, no? It was fun kasi everyone kind of agreed with your politics, no?
It was wild
at that time. Oh.
And that morning, when we were preparing in Blue Eagle Gym, no? CNN was just born then that year. But CNN, NBC, ABC were all interviewing us and Beam to America, no? Because this is a group that, you know, alam mo naman ang mga Amerikano when they feature news, gusto nila dramatic, no? This is a popular group that's defying the government, etc., etc. Do you think you'll be arrested today? Mga ganun-ganun question. Sabi ko, I hope not.
Yung taon na yun, no? Jim, 1985. Okay, so medyo sumikat kayo, hindi lang dahil sa music, but your music began to have this very strong opposition content, no? You became kind of the music icons of the opposition at that time, no? From 83 nga.
Well, there was Freddie Aguilar also. There was Freddie Aguilar also.
Yes, bayan ko, no? And of course, he would sing at many events, no? Pero I don't recall Freddie Aguilar being fun, no? He was intense. Pero kayo, you were fun, eh? And then it became an event, no? Your concerts were an event, and then puro tawanan, etc. But I just want to say, a year later, no, after that concert, 86 na, no? Nagtagumpay. I mean, events moved very quickly from 83 to 86, no?
Right.
So, ang tanong ko lang, no? Sa tingin mo, gaano kalaking impact yung inyong music? Yung protest music, and I'm aware na hindi lang naman kayo, no? Protest music at art also, kasi there was also a lot of visual art, there was theater, no? There was anong impact nun sa pagtagumpay ng protest movement noong 1986?
Feeling ko, you cannot really have a protest movement if it's not culturally rooted, or if there's no seed planted in society, no? So I felt at that time that we were actually doing the work of liberating the Philippines from dictatorship. It was to me like, you know, pakonti-konti, one chip here, one chip there, you know, pababagsakin natin itong diktadurya na to, no? So it was really like that. And, you know, I was scared. Sometimes I would be followed by unknown cars, you know? And then at night, sa takot ko, nagbabasa ako ng Bible. Merong isang verse dun, I cannot even remember the verse. It's like parang, keep me, you know, safe and something. I would read that every single night. Because I was afraid for myself, I was afraid for my family. But I told myself, everybody is afraid, and it's okay to feel the fear, but you must do what you must do. So, ganun lang nangyari sa akin. Parang, ano, ngayon ka pa atras? Andami mo na na-convince na ito yung direction mo, tapos aatras ka. And you know, we got a lot of temptation to make atras. A lot of Marcos Crony companies contacted us, giving us endorsements, no? By the millions, millions in talent fee. Siyempre, pag mag-endorse ka nun, sira ng credibility mo, di ba? And we were so tempted to get it, no? Pero sabi ko, trick yan, you know. You're not gonna recover from that if you do that. So we said no. Ang sakit mag-no sa pera.
Especially, no, nawalan kayo ng mga gigs, no?
Oh. Yeah.
But I want to fast forward now, no? So nagtagumpay no 1986. And of course, that heyday, no? 86, 87, napakabango ng Pilipinas. And of course, you composed that song that became a kind of a global theme song for the
Andog
for
ng Pilipinas.
People power. Yes, exactly. May English version pa yan that was heard around the world, no? But now, I know you just celebrated your 70th birthday. You are still protesting, no? Even as a senior citizen. Others in your generation have either sold out or have faded away or mas gusto na lang na tahimik yung buhay, no? But you're in a fighting mood, no? You're still feisty, you're confrontational, you engage, no? On social media para nag-adapt ka sa political environment and the political tools available to younger people. Ang tanong ko lang ay bakit?
You know, I'll tell you something. A lot of people think APO is a political group because we wrote maybe 3 or 4 political songs, no? Some of them are even just remotely political. The thing is, in the Philippines kasi, people are so politically obsessed. That's why they think that we are political figures, no? I'm an artist. An artist expresses, no? Ganun lang yun. It's one of the topics only of my life. It's not my main topic. That's why when people interview me, they think, you know, I'm political. Because no, not really. I just express myself politically and in other ways.
Well, there is a long tradition of artists being political, no?
Yeah.
The thing is, for a lot of people who are engaging you online, and a lot of Filipinos now actually probably don't have any memory of the 70s or maybe many don't even have memories of the 80s. When you were known more as a musician, as a musical trio, many people know you now as one of the more outspoken dilawans. Let's put it simplistically, you know?
Well, it depends on what social media you're using. Kung Twitter. Yeah,
well, Twitter, exactly. I know that you're also on Instagram and others, no? And you're also a photographer. And I know that you have a lot of interest. But when you make the news, it's not as a musician anymore, no? It's more as a controversial person in our politics, no? But I guess part of my question is, where do you get your motivation now? That kind of energy, no? Parang from the 80s, when you're already like that, hanggang ngayon, yun, lolo ka na. Parang you still want to engage and you want to, you know, you want to be outspoken. Even if you're being bashed left and right, alam mo naman, you know how popular the president is. And yet, you know, you persist.
How do I explain that? I don't know. My mother raised me. The Paredes family discussion table, no? There's 10 of us in the family. We all have different views about politics, and we've really learned to express ourselves freely, no? And I truly believe that, you know, when you just be quiet while bad things are happening, then you're really part of it. You can't really complain. If you don't say anything, then shut the F up. You know what I mean? If you're not going to complain about anything, you have no part in this. Don't be part of the, later on, pag wala ka nang magawa. So habang may nagagawa ka pa, gawin mo na. Second, if we cannot elevate things at a certain level that is more egalitarian, that is a kinder society and everything, what hope do we have as a species? Okay, wag na species, as a country. I'm coming from a big, big vision, no? Not just a job, not just anything like that. In the end, really, what do you live and fight for? What do you die for? What? Bigger, more money? More? No. I want my grandchildren to be free. I want my grandchildren to live in a good place, no? Gusto ko yung mga pinaaral kong mga anak na mga katulong namin, umasenso sa buhay. Pinaaral ko sila, you know? Because precisely, you want to break the trajectory of their lives, right? So for me, there's a lot of conscience here that's involved. This man for others really... it's a curse.
for many out there, you have to explain that. That's the Ateneo.
That is the Ateneo motto, where you're raised to be man for others, no? Now, I'm not saying that all Ateneans are like this, because Ateneo has produced a Rizal and an Arap at the same time, no? So it is a school for where saints and devils come from, no? Well, what else? This is, I'm philosophizing already, but sa akin ganun, you know. Awi, it's really so important that we do the right thing. You know, we will fail. But you know what? That's what it is. Mm-hmm. Feel the fear, but do it anyway. Because it's the right thing to do.
Okay, well, you have a unique perspective then, no? Because you've been doing this for a long time. You've been active as a kind of a political influencer or activist, no? So, tingin mo ba nag-evolve ang Pilipino? You've also expressed frustration na lumaban tayo sa diktadurya, nagtagumpay, and yet, nandito na naman tayo, we're facing another president na parang ganun din.
The truth is somewhere in the middle. I really think that the presence of trolls seems to magnify or seems to suggest, no, that many people think like them. No, it's not true. How do I know? Because I still have more than 1.7 million followers on Twitter. Hindi bumaba.
Okay, pero ang sagot ng mga kalaban mo, well, 16 million kami, di ba? I mean, he did win an election, right?
Yes,
he
yes.
Still, he is still, it still 16 rates million high now? In political surveys and all of these things.
Is it still 16 million now? And for me, I'll argue, okay, kahit na 16 million kayo, kung mali, mali pa rin. No matter how you insist, di ba? No matter how you insist that, you know, white is black, it is still white. Or how white is black, it is still black. So I don't think I come from mere sentiment. I think I'm kind of factual when I make my tweets about the democratic process and all of that, and I question this. And tingnan mo ang kalaban mo dun, sasabihin ngayon, di ba? Ang pangit mo, yan ang argument nila, di ba? Pangit mo, bobo, tanga, di ba? I don't even bother to argue with those people. I just really just block them. They're not gonna get a piece of my real estate in Twitter by appearing in my timeline. Diba?
But I guess part of the question is, kasi yung iba nga, parang mas gusto nila mag-withdraw, no? You know, if someone like you, you have a lot of hobbies, but you can actually withdraw and not deal with any of this and, you know, shut down your Twitter and or just post really innocent stuff and, you know, non-political stuff. Pero yun nga, you persisted, no?
Well, actually, and, I do both. I post a lot of nonsensical stuff too. And sometimes I don't tweet for a week.
That's true, but at the same time, consistent ka rin sa politika, no? I mean, you it both online and in the real world, no? You attend rallies, etc. I guess there's a certain feistiness that a magnet for trolls. You mentioned trolls, no? So in this day and age, maybe you can also share some advice to others who are dealing with trolls, no? How do you maintain your sanity, your equilibrium in this kind of toxic environment, online, offline?
Block them.
You know.
Block them. And I'm aware that, you know, politics is a very transient thing. You know? So a lot of people who may be on the opposite side right now will be later on will be your allies. So ganun lang yun. But for me talaga, I'm really a liberal Democrat. Anybody who cramps my rights, I don't look kindly on them, except for medical reasons. Second, you know what? Your position may change later on also. And for me, I don't mind changing my position if there's a better argument. Seriously, I don't have an ego to defend about changing my position.
Have you changed your position? Halimbawa, about Duterte, about what he's doing? Is there anything that you see that's good that they've done? Kumbaga, you saw the light about something.
I haven't changed my position on Duterte, but there are certain issues, for example, you know, where I was just, let's say, automatically allergic to. I get the argument sometimes, and then I weigh things. You know, I can be very cerebral also. I weigh things, and then sometimes, you know, I sort of, well, there's a point there, but I think there's an overarching argument that is still stronger than that. I can say that. And I've changed my position on certain people, actually.
So is there a role for music today? Ano bang role ng music? I mean, yung panahon na ninyo sa anti-Marcos movement, a lot of musicians and artists came out, no? Although meron din, I noticed, no? But has there been enough musical content in whatever protests have happened?
There's a lot, actually. I hear a lot of them, no? Even Ben and Ben, who is probably one of the most successful music acts today, have come out with protest songs. But the thing is, I think, hindi na gaya dati, media was quite monolithic before, where, you know, you could actually come out with a song and everybody covers it in media, and boom, it becomes a hit, right? Now there's so many channels and there's so many cocoons of audience. And that's what you affect now, these little cocoons and everything. So some would know about it, others wouldn't know about it. Unlike before, where when media talks about it, everybody knows about it. Ngayon, hindi na ganun eh. There's a lot of protest music going around. I hear it because a lot of them send it to me. And what is the role of music right now? Alam mo, in the time of pandemic, the role of music is really to just make you feel good. At the same time, for me, as an artist doing music, there's a lot of authenticity that you have to sort of ask yourself, no? Na parang, you know, even when you look at your lyrics, eh, like, for example, and I say this without, you know, I'm not laughing at people, I'm just pointing it out. A lot of people in the Philippines write songs in English and sing, no? They seem to be absorbed by a certain type of Western culture that when they sing, they're very American, you know? They sound very American and everything. And after the song, you hear, thank you po. You know what I mean? So, sa akin, parang, kung magsusulat ka ng English, dapat talaga feel mo. Feel mo talaga. In other words, it's natural to you. You know, you're not being possessed by some idol that you have, secret idol that you have there and everything. So, in music, there's a lot of authenticity that you actually ask yourself. Parang, am I being real by doing this? Yung ganun.
I'm interested in your thoughts about where our politics is going, no? Kasi to a certain extent, para siyang pendulum, no? It's gone from one extreme to another, you know, Marcos to Cory, and then nag-Ramos, and then nag-populist tayo, and then we went to, and now we're basically back to, I guess, a rightist kind of regime, no? If you look at that history, one would expect now, okay, maybe it's going to swing back, but many are also expecting a kind of continuation, or at least that's what the conventional thinking was. Until, well, yesterday, I don't know to what extent it will change things. No, yung decision of the International Criminal Court, no, yung ICC to investigate EJKs, the human rights violations in the Philippines, and even in Davao City. No, how do you think that will change things?
Well, ako, let me use an analogy, okay? When Cory wants like Star Wars. Nung nanalo si Duterte, it's like the Empire Strikes Back. Ang next siguro, Return of the Jedi na. So sana ganun mangyari. I think the other side speaks louder than we do because of paid trolls. Eh. May linya sila eh, di ba? I mean, they, you know, these trolls don't just express themselves freely. Meron sila talagang agenda. Kung minsan pare-pareho yung mga tinetext, eh, di ba? So I don't think there's much coherence in that group right now. Now, in terms of the number, have we converted enough? I think that from now, we still have 7 months left. I think there's going to be a lot of fighting for hearts and minds there. And I think we have a chance. You don't think, if we don't grab that chance, then we might as well just give up.
Minsan nakikita ko sa Twitter ng mga mas bata sa akin, no? People just starting out their careers, or you know, people in their 20s or early 30s, parang they feel like they've given up on the country. Some of them say, kung pwede lang, gusto ko na mag-migrate. Ang hirap lang mag-migrate ngayon, ano? Sabi mo nga kanina, ay you're now in Australia. I know you famously kind of uprooted in, I think, 2006, no? And then moved to Australia with your kids. I don't want to get too much into the reasons why, but I remember in 1989, no? Kasi you also had a green card, no?
I gave it up, yeah.
And then there was a story, I remember. Yeah, you gave it up, and then parang nagulat para yung US Embassy nung binalik mo yung green card. Kasi of course, maraming Pilipino gusto maging US citizen or green card holder, no? So you yourself have kind of had this pendulum then in terms of, you know,
yes.
Migrating, coming back, giving up your green card, and go uprooting again 17 years later to Australia, where, you know, your family is... you have your own home there, etc.
Put it this way. When I gave up my green card, that was the Monday after the most brutal coup, when it shook the government. And I told myself, I'm staying in the Philippines. Even if I'm the last man standing, you know, lalabanan ko itong coup na to. That was my view, okay? Tapos nung mga time niya, no, nung nanalo si Erap, and he really won popularity talaga. He was really popular. I told myself, I told Lijas, sabi ko, you know, we never really lived in the US. Why don't we skip this thing out and just live abroad and try it out? We've always wanted to try this out. So we migrated to Australia, no? Tapos nagkaroon ng ano, ng mga death in the family si Lijas sunod-sunod. So we went back to Manila. Tapos nung settle na lahat yun, we decided to come here. Why did I bring my family here? Because I wanted them to experience what an egalitarian culture is. They were getting too much freebies for being the sons and daughters of Jim Paredes. You know what I mean? Sabi ko, you know what? Real life is not like that, ha? Sabi ko, you're just getting privileges because, you know, we enter a restaurant, oh, nakakagulo lahat ng tao, you know, you get the best seat and everything. Sabi ko, you know, I don't want you growing up like that. So sabi ko, try Australia. Sabi ko, you're young enough, if you think it's a mistake, you can go back. But this is the reason why I applied for Australia, for the family. And when they got here, my gosh, galit na galit sila, you know, kasi... take a driver's license, bumagsak pa, tapos have to take it again. Alam mo yung ganun? Hindi gaya dito na, kaano-ano mo si Jim Paredes, di ba? O lusot na kaagad. Well, you know. So I told them, you know what? This is real life. You know? Now they love it here. They don't want to leave, you know. Well, they love the Philippines, but they said, you know what? Dalawa nag-oath-taking na eh. I'm a shrine, mate. So that was my reason for bringing them here.
So they're citizens and you're not. Ganun ba yun?
Yeah, I'm not.
So what do you tell these kids, these young Filipinos, no? Na talagang frustrated na sila. They've seen how the pandemic has affected this our country more than most countries. Nakikita nila yung performance ng gobyerno. They, you know, tinotroll sila pag may opinion.
Yeah.
I mean, it's such a toxic environment. It doesn't seem to be a bright future for some people who are looking at the opportunities here, no? So what do you tell them as someone who has left the country, has gotten a green, gave up a green card, and then decided again to leave the country, but you're still loyal to, you're still very interested in this country, obviously. So what do you tell them?
Well, for me, I tell them, you know, it is really your decision to stay or not. No? But let me tell you, some of the things that will never leave you is really the Philippines, even if you've lived abroad, no? It's like one immigrant put it here so well during an oath-taking I was watching. Sabi niya, your home country is your mother. Your adopted country is the girl you chose to marry. So you never leave your mother, actually. No, that's one. But I would tell them, sabi ko, I would tell them now, you know, if you're frustrated, get angry. Register now. Vote. Do your one last hurrah, you know, and give this country a chance before you leave. I gave it many hurrahs. And I'm still a Filipino up to now. But at the same time, I do understand that, you know, they've grown up in the world of internet where there are no boundaries, where your nervous system now is connected to the entire geography of the world. In other words, it does matter to you what happens in Afghanistan. It does matter to you who won the Nobel Prize. Unlike when we were growing up, wala namang ganun, di ba? Everything was so distant and you really didn't care, di ba? Sri Lanka, what's that, di ba? Ngayon sa kanila, global na sila eh. So they're looking for more opportunities to be more global, di ba? So I kind of understand that. But at the same time, you know what? It's time to do the work of to save your country, you know? If you do care, at least give it some time to save your country before you leave. I know it's difficult. I know I'm being unreasonable to a lot of these young people. But you know what? Who else will do it? We've tried to do it. We're still trying to do it. Pero kanino tayo aasa? Sa China? Sa America? Di ba sabi nila, God made the world in His image and likeness, sabi ko. The Philippines is not in my image and likeness. It is in the image and likeness of people like Lucio Tan, of people like, you know, Marcos, Duterte, and everything. Sabi ko, why do they get the privilege of making it the Philippines their own image and likeness? Because they did something. Well, I gotta do something to make it my image and likeness. And that's the rebel in me that says, you know, you just can't sit there and just sulk quietly or not do anything. Ipaglaban mo. Yun sa akin. Yun lang masasabi ko.
All right. On that note, we've covered so much ground, no? So
too much.
It's been very interesting.
Galing mo.
Thank you for joining us. Salamat sa musika, sa entertainment, at sa pagkilos mo para sa bayan. Mabuhay ka, Jim Paredes. Thank you.
Thank you. Salamat.
This episode was produced by the team of Arcy Formales and Chan Salvador and edited by J.R. Magtoto, with the wonderful people of GMA News and Public Affairs Digital. Thank you for listening until the very end. Our analytics show that many of you do stay for the entire episode. Until the next pod, mabuhay kayo at ingat lagi.